Please note that tonight's meeting, other than the confidential sessions, are being recorded and will be placed on Council's website. All in attendance should refrain from making defamatory statements. Council takes all care when maintaining privacy. However, members of the public gallery and those addressing Council should be aware that you may be recorded. We acknowledge and pay our respects to the Darug and Gunungurra people, who are the traditional owners in which Penrith local government area is situated. We also pay our respects to Elders past, present and emerging, and to First Nations people living in our community today.
Let us pray. Sovereign God, tonight as we gather together as a council, we affirm that you are the giver and sustainer of life. We come together as representatives of our community to make decisions that will benefit this city and the people within it. We come not in a spirit of competition, not as adversaries, but as colleagues. Help us to treat each other with respect, with dignity, with interest and with honesty. Help us not just to hear the words we say, but also to hear each other's hearts. We seek to be wise in all we say and do. As we meet, our concern is for this city. Grant us wisdom, courage and strength. Lord, help us. We pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Good evening, councillors. We have no leaves of absence. We have no apologies. Confirmation of minutes from the ordinary meeting of the 26th of May, 2025. Can I have a mover? Councillor McLean, seconded. Councillor Nuttall, put that to the council. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Have we got any pecuniary interests? Councillor McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I declare a pecuniary interest in item number 4 regarding the Harvey Norman Penrith Homemaker Centre. A family member of mine works in management at one of the tenant organisations there, so I'll leave the room for that item.
Thank you, Councillor McLean. Any other comments? Councillor Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Item number 5, a pecuniary and significant interest, is on the order of the CBD Corporation. I will be leaving the building. Chambers. Some of you would like me to leave the building, I know that, but the chambers, when the matter comes up.
Not me, mate.
Councillor Gardner.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I have a declare a pecuniary significant interest in item number 2. I own land in that in the affected area, but also submit to council a formal special disclosure for pecuniary interest, as it is my principal place of residence. So I submit that for council.
Grab that. Thank you, Glenn. Thank you, Councillor Gardner. Councillor Garian Thane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just like to declare a non-pecuniary interest in item 5 regarding the CBD corporations. I'm Council's representative on the St Mary's Town Centre Corporation, and as Council's representative, I won't be voting on the matter, and if it comes up for discussion, I will leave the chamber.
Councillor Nuttall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I would like to declare a non-pecuniary, less than significant conflict of interest with item 5, as I am a Council's representative on the Board of Directors of Penrith CBD, and I'll remain in the chamber.
Thank you, Councillor Nuttall. There be no other conflicts of interest. No one addressing Council. Move on to the mayoral minutes. I'm pleased to announce that Penrith City Council has won 3 industry awards this month. The Gipps Street Recreational Precinct was recognised as the Community Facility of the Year at the Parks and Leisure Australia New South Wales ACT 2025 Annual Regional Awards of Excellence. The site in Claremont Meadows has been transformed into a dynamic sports and recreational destination that's very much loved by the community. A huge amount of work went into the project. It was developed in response to the community's needs for diverse recreation opportunities in one central spot. Gipps Street Recreational Precinct offers sports fields, sports courts, children's play space, a youth zone with skate park and pump track, dog park, outdoor fitness equipment and amenities buildings, picnic and barbecue areas and more. It's wonderful to see council and the community's vision come to life with thousands of visitors each week. This project is now a finalist in the National Awards, with the winners to be announced later this year. At the 2025 New South Wales Local Government Excellence Awards, Penrith won the Community Development Population Over 150,000, awarded the One Community Many Abilities. This is an important social marketing campaign aimed at promoting the diversity and strengths of people with disability in Penrith. The strategic campaign highlighted the stories of five residents, inspiring the broader community to make Penrith more accessible and inclusive. This project was a direct response to the insightful community input that shaped the Penrith Disability Inclusion Action Plan 2022-2026. Last but not least, for the 10th consecutive year, Penrith has received the Gold Award for Reporting Excellence in Local Government at the 2025 Australasian Reporting Awards. This was for our 2023-24 annual report. This achievement reflects on our ongoing commitment to accountability through high-quality reporting. These accolades are fantastic recognition of Council's dedicated workforce, which is committed to creating a thriving and livable city, and serve as a reminder that as a Council, we are delivering high-quality projects across our community. Congratulations to everyone involved in these varied and fantastic projects. Mr. Deputy Mayor.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I share your congratulations to all the people who are involved in all these awards. It seems that just about every formal ordinary council meeting, we're getting up here to acknowledge the good work of the staff and officers of this council. And I'm particularly pleased about the outcome of the Gipp Street Recreation Area, because I look around, probably not too many would remember when it was a garbage tip, and it was the epitome of a garbage tip, the old style one where you just drove in, dumped it and drove off. And to see what's there today is a world-class recreation facility, which has been something that this council's probably been working on for the last 40-odd years to achieve a result. It's to the dedication of the council and the officers who have been all part of it. In terms of the Excellence Award for Disability, that is great recognition of the leadership that a number of councillors, primarily past councillors of this council, have taken in regards to disability access within the community. You know, it's important we have inclusivity with everyone within the community, and I'd probably just like to acknowledge former Mayors Greenough and former Mayor Hitchin in regards to their efforts that they put in that regard. And, of course, my favourite reporting awards, 10 years in a row, I think that says everything. And, again, congratulations to everyone involved, and I think it's fantastic, as you said, Mr. Mayor, fantastic recognition of the efforts of the staff and officers of this council. Congratulations.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Councillor John Thane.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Look, I would also like to add my thanks and congratulations to the staff, and particularly when it comes to Gipp Street. When I come to council in 1999, we were talking about it back then. And over those years, I guess there were times where you wondered whether it would ever come to fruition. And I guess in some ways the delays made it frustrating, but at the end of the day, those delays were probably fortuitous, because what we have now is something really special. And the vision that is there and has been developed and is now in place was nothing like we were originally talking about. And there's credit to the council officers for their vision as well, and what they guided us for that park, and it's become something phenomenal. So congratulations to the officers, and the park is something wonderful, and I think the award is well deserved. Disability Inclusion Action Plan, Mr. Mayor, I think we were one of the first councils that ever did that. So this is an other reiteration of the Disability Action Plan, which we've been doing for a very long time. And I think we were also one of the first councils to have a Disability Access Committee. So I think that, again, that just shows the vision this council's had for people with a disability, and the many mayors that have sat where you're sitting that have supported that as well. As far as reporting goes, I'll leave that to the expert that's sitting next to me, Mr. Mayor. It's not something that I can cover as well as him, but congratulations.
Thank you, Councillor Lane. Councillor McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd also like to offer my congratulations to all council officers and staff across the three initiatives that have received these awards recently. However, those of you who know me well won't be surprised that I would like to speak specifically about the One Community, Many Abilities initiative. I think what was really great about that particular campaign, and at the time, obviously, I wasn't sitting on council yet, so I was seeing it from the outside in, and what I saw was an initiative that didn't just give really powerful messages, but it was really effective in the way that it was run and the results that it delivered. Over a million people in our area saw that campaign in some way or another, and that is just a massive amount of reach for it to get. It's exciting now that it's also been recognised with this award. For me, even looking from the outside in and now knowing more, the strength of the campaign really lied in how it was done. It wasn't tokenistic. It didn't try to speak for people with disabilities. It gave disabled people the mic and let them tell their own stories in their own words. And that's how we get real change. We met Julian, Lauren, Madeline, Jesse, and Marley. And all of them challenged us to challenge our own stereotypes in the way that we see people in our community. They aren't niche stories. All of them are very Penrith stories. They show us what's possible when we really give people space, not just to be inspirational, and for those of you who are listening and not seeing, I'm using inspirational in inverted commas, but to be real and complex and capable and fully part of our community. It's important to acknowledge the council staff behind this particular campaign, and as both councillors Thane and Fowler have said, the long-standing work of our Disability Inclusion Action Plan. It's really clear that officers and staff who are engaged with this work at Penrith City Council do their work with care, collaboration, and a deep respect for lived experience. This campaign worked because it was thoughtful, strategic, and community-led. For me, as somebody who lives this work, personally, professionally, and in my broad advocacy efforts, this campaign is an example of what local government really can do when we treat inclusion as core business. I'm excited to be here now on a slightly different side of the fence and see how the momentum of this campaign shapes the way we lead, design, and deliver in every aspect of our work.
Thank you, Councillor McLean. Move on to the next one. On behalf of Penrith City Council, I would like to acknowledge those in our community who have been recognised in the 2025 King's Birthday Honours List for their outstanding service and dedication to driving positive change. This evening, we honour current residents as well as people who have made a significant contribution to our city and beyond. They are Cheryl Goh, June Roots, Lance Miller, Jennifer Westacott, AO, Michael Morris and Joanne Morris. Cheryl Goh has been honoured with a Medal of Honour, Order of Australia for her service to the Indigenous community of Sydney and to education, a Penrith resident and a proud Darug woman, best known as Aunty Cheryl. She is the current director of Mirimidiga, a Western Sydney social enterprise which supports the local Indigenous community through employment, education and training.
Aunty Cheryl taught Aboriginal Studies and Humanities at TAFE New South Wales, Western Sydney, from 1994 to 2020. She is a member of the Darug Gara Aboriginal Corporation and has served as a Darug-led design panel for Blacktown Council. June Roots has been honoured with the Medal of the Order of Australia for her service to the community of Penrith. She is a life member and patron of Ludnam Agricultural, Horticultural and Industrial Society. Miss Roots joined the Ludnam Show as a steward in the 1950s before co-founding the Ladies Auxiliary in the 1960s. Miss Roots is a former president of the Ludnam Public School Parents and Citizens Association. She supports the Ludnam Uniting Church and Holy Family Knitting Ladies Group, and is a former member of the Ludnam Progress Association and the Carry On Club at Wallachia for servicemen and women of World War II. Lance Miller has been awarded the Emergency Services Medal for Distinguished Service. Mr. Miller joined Marine Rescue New South Wales in 1975 as a 22-year-old. When it was then the Royal Volunteer Coastal Patrol. Now as a Marine Rescue Master, Mr. Miller has served for 50 years and led many high-risk searches and rescues, operations in dangerous conditions. He is highly respected for his leadership and as a mentor to other volunteers to the development of his crew while continuing to save lives on the water. I acknowledge Professor Jennifer Westcott AO as a fierce advocate for Western Sydney. She has been honoured with her appointment as a Companion of the Order of Australia for her eminent services to business, to tertiary education administration, to mental health sector and to the community. Among her roles, Professor Westcott is a Chancellor of Western Sydney University, Chair of Studio Schools of Australia and Chair of the Bradfield Development Authority. She is also a patron of Mental Health Australia. Husband and wife Michael and Joanne Morris have been awarded the Medal of the Order of Australia for service to the community through charitable organisations. The couple turned tragedy into charity after their son suffered a non-fatal drowning in 2006. Establishing the Samuel Morris Foundation in Cranbrook the following year. Michael served on Council's Access Committee from 2008 to 2016. The award-winning charity is Australia's first to provide support services to children disabled by non-fatal drownings and other hypoxic brain injuries. Samuel sadly died in 2014, but his legacy lives on through Morris's unwavering commitment to supporting other families and preventing further drownings, deaths and disability, which has inspired awareness and legislative change in water safety at a global level. Michael and Joanne Morris were previously recognised with the Companion of the Royal Life Saving Society honour for their advocacy work. And Michael continues to raise awareness through his role as the Assistant Commissioner of Fire and Rescue New South Wales. To our worthy honour recipients, you are all incredible role models for our community, and Council thanks you for your contribution to Penrith, Western Sydney and society more broadly. Thank you all. Councillor Fowler.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mayor, and I share with you your congratulations in respect to those recipients. And if you look at their backgrounds, it's probably a great cross-section of community, and it's our community of Penrith, and that makes community our community and the great. We have someone who represents the Indigenous people, and Aunty Cheryl, and helps with education and bringing the Indigenous people and the rest of society together. We have the charitable organisation, the Morrises, which unfortunately came through a tragedy, but out of that has come a great charity and a great couple who have really put their heart and soul into helping people in terms of the field that they look into. We have leadership with Professor Westacott, obviously a significant leadership for Western Sydney and a great advocate for Western Sydney. Emergency services, people who help people, whether they be fireys or whether they're ambos or whatever. They're dedicated people who go out in and put sometimes their lives on the line to achieve things for the betterment of the community. And, of course, talking about community, particularly the community of Ludnam, we have June Roots, who's been a long-time resident, if not a lifetime resident of Ludnam. But if you look at them all together, they're all people who are quite achievers. They go about their daily work. They go about what they do. They don't necessarily expect any recognition. And I think it's great that we have a system in Australia which does enable those people who contribute greatly to our society to be able to recognise. And congratulations to each and every one of them. And I note that there's a number of them here tonight too, sharing that congratulations with the rest of the councillors. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Councillor John Thang.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'd also like to echo your own words, Mr. Mayor, and they are all incredible role models for our community. But I'd particularly like to just mention Joanne and Michael Morris, who I've known for quite a few years. And congratulations, but what I really want to do is also offer my thanks for the continuing work that they do, Mr. Mayor. It hasn't stopped. They continue to give comfort and guidance to families that have or experienced the same thing that they have been through, and they're able to help them along the way and just with the guidance that they've got and the work they do with their charity. But I think we should also recognise the work that they've done in water safety has gone worldwide, but particularly for this area. We wouldn't have the pool inspections. We wouldn't have the pool inspections that we have or the fencing that is required around a pool if you want to put a pool in your backyard now. That was extensively down to Michael and Joanne, who lobbied very hard to get that put into legislation all around Australia, Mr. Mayor. So we owe them a great deal of thanks for that. And there is safer use of pools and backyards because of what they've achieved. So thank you, Michael and Joe. It's greatly appreciated.
Thank you, Councillor. Thanks. Councillor Nuttall.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I too extend my council colleagues' remarks and congratulate all the recipients of this award. I do just want to touch on Aunty Cheryl and read a little bit more about what she has done and to extend those remarks. Mr. Mayor, her clan area is northwestern Sydney along the Nepean and Hawkesbury River system. She's a descendant of the Yarramundi, and his father, Gumbori, and his daughters, who became known as Maria, after attending the Parramatta Native Institution. Maria later married a convict, Robert Locke, and from there, 9 children, is one of the many branches that form the Darug Nation today. Aunty Cheryl returned to her former education in her late 30s, graduating from Macquarie University with a Bachelor of Arts with a Diploma of Education, with majors in Aboriginal Studies, History, and with the intention of teaching high school. However, she was approached to teach a few units of TAFE in Western Sydney and found that she could fulfil her most desire as an educator. It was, in the main, second chance education. She retired from teaching mainly at Mount Druitt College of TAFE in January 2020, 25 years after taking those few units. Aunty Cheryl joined the board of Miramitiga some 17 years ago with her main focus on cultural education. In my opinion, she is a powerhouse Aboriginal woman, someone that I've looked up to alongside, you know, Uncle Wes and many other Indigenous elders in our community, and I can only pay my congratulations to a woman who has come from a really, really dark time growing up in sort of the stolen generation era, and she has done so much with her life, and we are indebted to her for her support on teaching Aboriginal studies to many Indigenous people in our community, and I can only congratulate her on her achievement. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Battle. I've got no others. What I'd like to do, if we've any of the members who have received their recognition, if they're here tonight, if you could please come up, I'd like to present you with a copy of the Merrill Minute. Michael, Joe, who else is here? Please give everyone a round of applause, please. Moving on, councillors. Moving on to item 9, adoption of reports and recommendations of committees. We've got their local traffic committee meeting of the 2nd of June 2025. We've got a move for that. Councillor Cook, Councillor Nuttall, Councillor Payne.
Local traffic committee, Mr Mayor, fair warning, I've got a petition from Francis Street in Cambridge Park. I'll pass that on to the committee later tonight.
Thank you, Councillor Payne. I'll put that to council. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Moving on to Access Committee meeting of the 4th of June 2025. I've got a move for that. Councillor Skinner, Councillor Austin, put that to council. All in favour? Against? Declared that carried. Moving on to business. Starting off with outcome one, I have items 1 and 2. Have I got any calls for those? Both of them? Yep. All right. Are you moving number one? Can I have a seconder for number one? Councillor Fowler.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Just wanted to say congratulations to Mr. Hull and his team. They've put together a great project over several years. It goes back, the beginning of this plan started about 4 years ago, and to get to this stage now where we're recommending projects is very good. There are some good projects there that pleasing to see that Surveyors Creek the catchment is in reasonably good health, but there are some upgrades to some pits and pipes and some retaining pits. Congratulations everyone and thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Gardner. Any other comments? No other comments. I'll put that to council. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Councillor Gardner, you're moving the second one?
Yes, move the second one, please. And speak to it. And speak to it as well.
And speak to it as well. Have I got a second? Second, Councillor Austin. Councillor Gardner.
Thank you. Won't be as quick with this one. It's a little bit more important, I think. I'm very pleased to see that we've come to this point where we're ready for public exhibition. Soon after my first election, my very first flood committee meeting. An outcome of that meeting was to commission or recommend to council to commission this report. To get to this point where we're ready for public exhibition is very pleasing. A great deal of thanks to Mr. Hull again and also Mr. Wilkinson prior to Mr. Hull in that role. What this flood study will do once it's complete is put Rickabys Creek on the map and quite literally put it on the map And that is because it's absent from SES maps. And the reason it's absent is because there has not been a flood study here in Rickabys Creek. And that's caused some problems in the past, which is what has garnered my interest in Rickabys Creek. There's quite a fair bit of pain in the local area. In July of 2022, some 800 buildings went underwater, and the understanding of what was going to happen in that area wasn't really known. What this study, what the flood study has determined, is that the coincidence of a 20-year local event and a 20-year Nepean River event equates to what we used to believe was a 1 in 100-year event. And at some points up near the corner of Cherrybrook Chase and Londonderry Road, it's even closer to a 1 in 500-year event. And so previously when we've considered that, you know, a 1 in 20-year flood will come, but flood levels arrive and they're nearly 1 in 500-year levels, that's when chaos has happened. And that's happened four times in 15 months in the years 2021 and 2022. What this will do is create a platform to create mitigation strategies, warning systems, and also emergency response. And so I'm very happy that we've gotten to this point. Unfortunately, I am very disappointed because I was looking forward to it for a great deal of time, I won't be able to attend the public consultation. I will be out of town at the time, so it's quite disappointing, but I'll be there in spirit. Thank you, Mr. Hull, and your team.
Thank you, Councillor Gardner. Any other comments? I'll put that to the council. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Moving on to outcome two, item number three, re-establishment of reviewed alcohol prohibited areas. I've got any callers on that? I've got a mover. Councillor Garian Thanes seconded. Councillor Libby Austin. Put it to the council. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. I'll move on to outcome number three, item number four, because I've got to do that separately as Councillor McLean leaves. Yep, I've got you down, Councillor Thane, on that one. It's your item. It's a 375A, so it'll be a show of hands. The Harvey Norman Penrith Homemakers Centre, have I got any calls on that item? Councillor Fowler?
I'm happy to move it, but make inquiry earlier about the advertising on the new buildings as they face the freeway. I'm just wondering whether I could have a little memo back on what the restrictions are.
We can get that back to you.
Thank you.
Have we got a seconder for that? Councillor Skinner? I'll put that. Remember, it's show of right hands. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Unanimous. Have I got any calls for... can we get Councillor McLean back in, please? Councillor Fowler, you stepping out of the room on this one? Moving on to item number five, Penrith CBD Corporations, Mary's Town Centre Corporations, 2025-2026 business plans. I've got any calls for that? Have we got any movers? Councillor John Thane, seconders. Councillor Robin Cook. If there's no calls, I'll put that to the council. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Can we bring Councillor Fowler back in the room, please? Moving on to item number six, I'll do it separate. Request for major event sponsorship, New South Wales State Band Championships 2025. Have we got any calls for that? Councillor Nuttall, Councillor Skinner. No speakers on that matter. I'll put that to the council. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Moving on to item number seven, Councillor Thane, you're going to move that. We've got a seconder for that. Councillor Nuttall.
I'll move the report, but there is an addendum an addition to it, Mr. Mayor, an item two, where it's the Deputy Premier, the Acting Minister for Western Sydney, and the Minister for Transport I think it's important to also copy in the opposition counterparts and federal ministers as well, because I think, you know, some of the funding for the Metro did, or quite a bit of funding from the Metro, come from the federal government as well.
Councillor Nuttall, you are okay, so seconder to take that on board. We'll add that.
Mr. Mayor, could I just thank the officers for their very prompt report coming back to council. I'm very grateful for that. It's comprehensive, and I really would like to thank them for the information that has gone in there, but I think it shows the importance of actually adding St Mary's as a stop for that rapid transport. Not just for the locals, but for people that are coming from the airport or going to the airport to get there quickly. But it also gives the opportunity for those in central New South Wales, Mr. Mayor, that can come in, change in St Mary's, pick up a metro and get straight to the airport, and vice versa on the way home. And the opportunity for people that are arriving from or to Western Sydney Airport to go west to the Blue Mountains or further out as well. So it's a great thing for tourism, and I think it's highly important. The report indicates that, and it would be great if we can get the state and federal government to both agree to that. That'd be fantastic.
Councillor Nuttall is the seconder.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I can only agree with my council colleague, Councillor John Thain, and recognise and appreciate his urgency motion at the last meeting, and really recognise the importance of this T1 line stopping at St Mary's. Despite it maybe playing up with my travel to the city every day and getting another additional stop, I won't complain if it drives economic activity into the Penrith CBD and into St Mary's, more specifically, Mr Mayor, so that's okay. But I do really want to recognise the importance of this line, stopping at St Mary's, to ensure that we have all residents or people outside of Penrith coming and going to St Mary's and jumping on that metro and heading down to the beautifully built airport, which you not too long ago, Mr Mayor, went and had a look at. I can only stress how important this is, and it's a great next step, and I do want to thank Carly and her team for doing this quick, smart, and getting this motion to the next ordinary meeting. And I can only thank my council colleague, John Thain, for putting that up.
Councillor Gary Thain.
Thank you, Mr Mayor. I'd like to echo the comments of Councillor Nuttall and Councillor John Thain, and thank Councillor John Thain for commissioning the report. We're not caucusing, Mr Mayor. We're just both on the Thain train. It's not too late for everyone else to get on board.
It's your opportunity, John.
So, in all seriousness, Mr Mayor, as a lifelong St Mary's resident and someone who has spent quite a few years commuting daily from St Mary's to the city, I think that one of the things that I have always quite selfishly wanted, and I'm sure many of my other friends, colleagues, commuters have as well, is that express train. I think there's been quite an appetite for it for some time amongst St Mary's residents. It's been a growing area for some time now. And I think it's just a no-brainer to actually start talking about this quite seriously when we're looking at the metro opening next year. You know, we're basically looking at a major infrastructure project that will link St Mary's to the airport, and as others have articulated tonight, it's not just making St Mary's the gateway to Sydney, it's actually making basically St Mary's the gateway to the airport itself as well, and people coming from the mountains and from the city to visit St Mary's. It's worth noting, and thanking the council staff for the promptness of the report, the council staff have also done a great deal of work on St Mary's itself recently. We can't forget the St Mary's Town Centre Master Plan, which many of us went to Parliament just the other week to celebrate and spoke to our state colleagues about. And we also have the St Mary's Central Park project, which will be starting soon as well. These are pretty transformative projects, and it just shows that council is quite serious about St Mary's future. And when we look at what that work has gone into the metro, we take that quite seriously as well. I think, you know, when we talk about that opening in just a few years from now, I think the silence from the state authority, and by that I mean Transport from New South Wales, is quite concerning. And so I just think that, you know, Penrith City Council has done our work. It's time for Transport for New South Wales to do theirs. I'd just like to close my remarks with one comment. Obviously, one of the outcomes that we've decided tonight is that we're writing to state ministers, opposition and federal as well. Just like to note that obviously we're writing to the Deputy Premier. This is the first ordinary meeting we've had of Council since Prue disclosed her illness recently. And we all wish her well, but I do also want to note that this is a matter that Prue, as a local member for Londonderry, has taken quite seriously and has been quite interested as well in advocating for. I just wanted to note that in the Council chamber that this is something that not just we as councillors are very serious about, but also the local member for Londonderry as well. And we all wish her returning to the fray very soon. Thank you,
Councillor Payne. Okay. Right, no other calls. I'll put that to the council. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Moving on to outcomes four. We've got items 8 and 9. I've got any calls for either of those items? Move for those items. Councillor Fowler, Councillor Austin. I'll put it to the council. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Moving on to outcomes number 5. We've got items 10, 11 and 12. Have I got any calls for those? 10, Councillor Fowler?
10 also.
10. Okay. Well, have I got any calls for 11 and 12? Can I get a mover and seconder for those 11 and 12? Councillor Thane and Councillor Skinner. Put those two to the council. All in favour? Against? Declare that it's carried. Councillor Fowler as the mover. You're moving this, Councillor Fowler?
I am, Mr Mayor, subject to a slight change on page 80.
I'll see what the change is first and then I'll ask for a seconder after that, yeah?
Item 2, in relation to fees and charges, it says 2022 to 23. Of course, everyone who's read the report would have picked that up. And it should be 2025 to 2026.
We'll know that change. Have I got someone who's seconding that book? Councillor John Thane? Councillor Fowler?
Mr Mayor, just to put the budget for 25-26 into some perspective, it is a $2.9 million deficit budget, and it is not the first time the Council's had a deficit budget, but generally speaking, as most of continuing councils would realise, that we try to get a balanced budget. The report also recommends that council adopt a 3.9% rate increase as granted by IPART in their review of rating and the capping. And given that it's $2.9 million deficit, I'm sure that council officers will continue throughout the year to try and make savings in relation to that, to reduce that $2.9 million by the end of 25-26. Mr Mayor, I'd just really like to commend council officers in preparing these documents that are here today. I think they go a long way in sort of saying that we're a innovative and transparent council, because everything that is relating to the budget going forward is in those documents. If you look back, and I've been a councillor for a number of years, look back and seen the growth that's occurred in Penrith over the last 30-odd years, it'll certainly pale in relation to the growth that's going to occur in Penrith over the next 5 to 6 years with the metro and the airport and the additional housing that's being required and asked for by the state government. We are a growing city, an aspirational city, or a city made up of aspirational people, and we really need to be and want to be connected to the rest of the other parts of the city. And to do that, that enables our residents to get job opportunities outside of the area, the LGA. However, we would definitely like them all to work locally. Being aspirational, the ratepayers and residents of the city expect a new level of service, but they expect better services year in and year out. And that sort of demand for better services is going to continue. And it will deliver, obviously, some tangible results for Penrith. The opportunity really is for us to get the balance right. We've, as a council, we're focused on the ongoing needs and the expanding ongoing needs of the community and meeting the changing expectations. And of course, this is a challenge. It has been a challenge year in and year out, and will continue to be a challenge, but this year it is going to be quite a challenge. We plan to deliver infrastructure. We plan to maintain the facilities that we have, and we plan to maintain the services that we currently provide to the residents and ratepayers of the city. But we're going to do that in a financially and sustainable way. As people, residents, members of the community, we hear the trials and tribulations and the demands that are being put on our ratepayers and our residents, particularly from a financial point of view. The ever-increasing cost of living, they're feeling the purchases, and I'm sure each and every one of us around this table is feeling the pressure in relation to those continuing charges. And probably should put in perspective that state governments are continually pressing council to take on more and more services, and they cost shifting their responsibilities from a financial point of view to council. What have we done over the last number of years? The one that's to save funds and money, the one that really stands out to me is the introduction of the FOGO. That's, council was the leader in that. I think we were the first council in the metropolitan city, if not New South Wales, to introduce the FOGO regime. And just what it saved council, and sorry, what it saved residents of, because garbage collection is a cost recovery collection. It's saved our residents roughly about $46.5 million over the last 10 or so years. It's a great example we've set to the people of Penrith, and this budget is certainly, in my mind, a responsible budget, and will continue to deliver the services and get results for residents and ratepayers. Just to put some financial numbers in perspective, if in 2025-26 we don't apply the rate peg of 3.9%, it will mean a further shortfall of $6.4 million. If we don't do that, you put that in a community perspective, loss over the next 10 years will total $71 million. We did not increase rates in 1992, from memory, and that not increasing rates in that year has had a significant impact on the council's revenue. So, and I think roughly to the extent of about $1.6 million a year, or roughly $37 million over the last 10 years.
That's your 5 minutes, Councillor Fowler. 5 minutes.
Someone want me to extend?
Oh, extend, Mr. Mayor.
Extend. Second it.
I'll sit down.
Another 3 minutes, Councillor Fowler.
Mr. Mayor, what we have a new council, and I think we really have a cohesive new council. We're working exceptionally well together. As councillors, we're certainly listening to our constituents. We hear what they say. As councillors, we know the hardships and the problems that society, and particularly from a financial view, face. But not to take the 3.9% increase as advised by IPART would put significant financial constraints on this council. As I said earlier, $6.4 million in lost revenue. And it would mean that we as a council would have to go to our residents and ratepayers to say, what services do you want reduced and what services don't you want? And I can guarantee that over the last 30-odd years, there is only one instance where the ratepayers have accepted a service being cancelled, and that was in relation to the baby health centres and vaccination. So the community is expecting more from us. The community want more from us. We are a responsible council, and not to take the 3.9% increase in rates would put this council under extreme financial pressure going forward and difficulty in performing what's required of us to the community and the ratepayers of the city. So I commend the report and the recommendation.
Thank you, Councillor Fowler. Councillor Thane is the seconder. Did you?
I'll reserve my right to speak, Mr. Mayor, if anyone else wants to have a go.
Councillor Pollock.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'll aim to be brief. A very comprehensive report, and I commend all staff for their contribution. I thank you, Deputy Mayor Fowler, for his comments. It's evident the state and the community want more from us. My position isn't changed when we vote to place the integrated planning reporting documents on public exhibition. While I support the process of community consultation, absolutely, I did not support the content on the documents in their entirety. I remain opposed to the proposed rate increase. Approximately 50% of our community submissions expressed opposition to the rate rise, highlighting the ongoing costs of living pressures they face. I share these concerns. I do not believe now is the time to be placing additional financial strain on households. Penrith Council is a well-resourced organisation with the capacity to review its priorities and reduce non-essential spending. Before asking more of our residents, we must first look inwards and ensure we are operating as efficiently and responsibly as possible. As it is likely, the integrated planning and reporting document will be implemented for the coming financial years. That makes it more important to ensure our community is supported. For those already experiencing financial hardship, council's rates and charges hardship policy is in place to help. I encourage anyone affected to contact council and discuss alternate payment arrangements that may better suit their circumstances. The broader question, not directed to anyone in this room, is about the long-term financial sustainability of the local government more generally. Councils across the state are under growing pressure to maintain ageing infrastructure and deliver services within limited revenue tools. At what point does it become appropriate for the state government to step in with meaningful structural and/or financial reform before communities are priced out of their own local areas? Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Pollock. Councillor Nuttall.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, and I don't know too much about numbers, so I'll take Councillor Fowler's point, and I appreciate his views. I do want to talk about one thing, and that's the community strategic plan. I do want to thank Jenny Pollard and your team for your hard work, your dedication, listening to us as council, as councillors, as members of this community, and I do thank you for your contribution and for putting this together. I don't know how you did all the colours and stuff, but well done. It was very impressive. As I say all the time, Penrith is the gateway to the world. It is the place of opportunity. It is a place where we as Australians come together with our knowledge, our wisdom and our experiences to really improve the lives of people living in our community. And this is exactly what we're doing, what we're aiming to do. This strategy is making sure that we really look at the future and what it is that our community want, expect, and frankly what they need. And so I look forward to this going into public exhibition, and I do really thank you, Jenny, and your team for all your hard work.
Thank you, Councillor Nuttall. There's no other comments. I'll put that to the council. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Thank you, councillors, and thank you, everyone, for the debate. Okay. Moving on to urgent business. Councillor Burst.
Yes, Mr. Mayor. I'm noting that I am requesting a leave of absence from Monday the 28th of July to Friday the 1st of August. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Burst. Have I got a second of that? Councillor McLean, will the council all in favour? Declare that carried.
Mr. Mayor, sorry. Just I just note that the code of conduct actually states that councillors ought to give reason for why they seek leave of absence.
There's not actually an ordinary meeting if you're in that time, so it's just a more of a notice. It's only when there's an ordinary meeting during that time. So she's taken that leave without an ordinary meeting being within the scope of it. So it's just as a polite note for all councillors.
Okay, I apologise.
I can give. I'm out of Sydney. I'm up on the north coast.
Okay. Moving on, Councillor McLean.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I do have an item to raise as part of urgent business. However, I'm going to request that we raise it as part of Committee of the Whole after the end of this session. The reason I'm asking for it to be placed in Committee of the Whole is that I believe that the item I'd like to discuss refers to information that would, if disclosed, confer a commercial advantage on a person with whom the council is conducting or proposes to conduct business, and discussion of the matter in the open meeting would be, on balance, contrary to the public interest.
I'll declare that urgent. We'll take that into Committee of the Whole.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor McLean. Councillor Cook.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to bring up a request for voted works for some money to go to our community cares.
And that's the $450?
Yeah, the $450 towards the charity luncheon that we attended, a lot of us attended on.
So that was the one I circulated Saturday. The other day. So, yeah. Councillor Day, happy to second that?
Yeah.
I'll put that to council. All in favour? Against, declare that carried. Councillor Gary Thane.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Also, through vote of works, I'm proposing we allocate $1,693 plus GST from Eastward to fund a marquee and trestle table for the local community group Team Colleton. I'm familiar with this group. They're a really great local group. They're very active in the Colleton community. They hold events throughout the year, including Christmas carols. I represented you, Mr. Mayor, at last year's Christmas carols. It was a great success. And they do it free of charge. So they will use the marquee and trestle table for fundraising activities like barbecues to ensure the events stay free to the community.
Thank you, Councillor. Seconded, Councillor Austin. And the good thing is it's coming out of Eastport's budget, so everyone will be happy about that. So I'll put that for council. All in favour? Against? Declare that carried. Any other urgent business, councillors? Councillor John Thane.
Now, Mr. Mayor, if anyone's got video of Councillor Noddle and Councillor Thane doing Crocodile Rock at the event, could they please send it my way?
We'll make sure it's on the video of the next ordinary meeting, just so everyone can see. Thank you, Councillor Thane. Councillors, as per the agenda, we are now moved into Committee of the Whole to deal with confidential business. Could I have a motion that the meeting be closed to the press and public to discuss confidential business as recommended in item 1 of the report of Committee of the Whole? Councillor Austin, Councillor Skinner. Is there any, I'll put that to council, all in favour, against, declare that carried. Is there any member of the public who wishes to make representation about the closure of this part of the meeting? There have been no representations made. I would ask that the members of the press and public please leave the chambers. You may return to the chambers at the conclusion of confidential business, at which point the General Manager will report the recommendations of the Committee of the Whole to the ordinary meeting of Council.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. The Committee of the Whole met at 8 p.m. on Monday the 30th of June 2025, the following being present. His Worship the Mayor, Councillor Todd Carney, Deputy Mayor Ross Fowler OAM, and Councillors Austin, Corr, Missard, Cook, Gary and Thane, Nuttall, Burst, McLean, Pollock, Skinner, Day, Gardner and John Thane. And the Committee of the Whole excluded the press and public from the meeting for the reasons set out in CW1, and that the Committee of the Whole submitted the following recommendations to Council. Item 2, Council property new lease, 42 Bruce Neal Drive, Penrith, recommended on the motion of Councillor Fowler, seconded Councillor Nuttall, that Council defer consideration of the matter, pending a further report to Council. Item number 2, Council property new lease, Regatta Park Kiosk, recommended on the motion of Councillor Gary and Thane, seconded Councillor Fowler, that the information contained in the report be received. Council commenced the advertising process for a new 5-year lease
over 34 Great Western Highway Emu Plains in accordance with Section 47A of the Local Government Act 1993. Upon completion of the advertising process, Council enters the proposed lease over 34 Great Western Highway Emu Plains on the terms and conditions detailed within this report. All funds received from the lease be allocated to the property reserve and the common seal of the Council of the City of Penrith be affixed to all documents as required, and the General Manager or Delegate be authorised to sign all necessary legal documents in relation to this matter.
Thank you. Can I get someone to move the Committee of the Whole report? Councillor Austin, Councillor Day. I'll put that to the Council. All in favour? Against? Declared that carried. Thank you very much, councillors. And I don't know, meeting next week, so we'll see you the week after the 14th.